He slipped his feet into a pair of dark blue leather sandals and went downstairs and out of the house and across the terrace to the beach. As he passed across the front of the house, he thought of Vespa, but he refrained from looking up to see if she was still standing at the window. If she saw him, she gave no sign. He walked along the waterline on the hard, golden sand until he was out of sight of the inn. Then he threw off his pajama coat and took a short run and a quick, flat dive into the small waves. The beach shelved quickly, and he kept underwater as long as he could, swimming with powerful strokes and feeling the soft coolness all over him. Then he surfaced and brushed the hair out of his eyes. It was nearly 7, and the sun had lost much of its heat. Before long, it would sink beneath the further arm of the bay, but now it was straight in his eyes, and he turned on his back and swam away from it, so that he could keep it with him as long as possible. When he came ashore, nearly a mile down the bay, the shadows had already engulfed his distant pajamas, but he knew he had time to lie on the hard sand and dry before the tide of dusk reached him. He took off his bathing trunks and looked down at his body. There were only a few traces left of his injuries. He shrugged his shoulders and lay down with his limbs spread out in a star and gazed up at the empty blue sky and thought of Vespa. His feelings for her were confused, and he was impatient with the confusion. They had been so simple. He had intended to sleep with her as soon as he could because he desired her, and also because, and he admitted it to himself, he wanted coldly to put the repairs to his body to the final test. He thought they would sleep together for a few days, and then he might see something of her in London. Then would come the inevitable disengagement, which would be all the easier because of their positions in the service. If it was not easy, he could go off on an assignment abroad, or, which was also in his mind, he could resign and travel to different parts of the world, as he had always wanted. But somehow she had crept under his skin, and over the last 2 weeks his feelings had gradually changed. He found her companionship easy and unexacting. There was something enigmatic about her which was a constant stimulus. She gave little of her real personality away, and he felt that however long they were together, there would always be a private room inside her which he could never invade. She was thoughtful and full of consideration, without being slavish and without compromising her arrogant spirit. And now he knew that she was profoundly, excitingly sensual, but that the conquest of her body, because of the central privacy in her, would each time have the sweet tang of rape. Loving her physically would each time be a thrilling voyage, without the anticlimax of a rival. She would surrender herself avidly, he thought, and greedily enjoy all the intimacies of the bed without ever allowing herself to be possessed. Naked, Bond lay and tried to push away the conclusions he read in the sky. He turned his head and looked down the beach and saw that the shadows of the headland were almost reaching for him. He stood up and brushed off as much of the sand as he could reach. He reflected that he would have a bath when he got in, and he absent-mindedly picked up his trunks and started walking back along the beach. It was only when he reached his pajama coat and bent to pick it up that he realized he was still naked. Without bothering about the trunks, he slipped on the light coat and walked on to the hotel. At that moment, his mind was made up.